What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. It is good to be with you on this Wednesday morning. Now, it is Tinnitus Awareness Week, and joining me today in the studio from the Ear Science Institute Australia is audiologist Sasha Benatar. Did I get that right?
You got
audiologist.
That right. Audiologist?
Audiologist.
Yeah.
I knew it was a bit of a tongue twister
it
there.
It is.
It's good to have you in. Now, we're going to be talking about tinnitus because it is Tinnitus Awareness Week. Tell us more. Tell us about what actually is tinnitus. We're hearing a lot about it, don't we?
Oh, it's very much so. It's becoming more and more known. And it's really important that we do have a good understanding, really, of what we mean when we label something tinnitus. So tinnitus is a noise generated in the head or heard when there's no external sound source. So an individual will hear things and describe their tinnitus in a number of different ways, but commonly referred to as a ringing, a buzzing, a whooshing type sound. It may be present in one ear, two ears, centrally in the head, and it can be continuous, intermittent, and multifaceted. So at times, someone may hear a constant high-pitched whistle within the presentation of a clicking-type noise. It just differs so greatly between individuals. There's all different descriptions.
Okay. Is the volume like is it quite loud, or can it be like quite a subtle sound? Because I'm sure there'd be people listening today thinking, "Oh yeah, I can relate to that," but didn't really know what it maybe was.
Yeah, so tinnitus fluctuates in intensity so greatly, and what I mean by that is it's very dependent on our level of attention to tinnitus, our environmental stimuli around us, how much can we concentrate on it, how much masking type sound is there to reduce our awareness of it. But it can be, for many people, incredibly debilitating. And what we know now is 2 out of 3 Australians will experience tinnitus at some point in their lives, with 1 in 5 approximately experiencing significant tinnitus that really does impact on quality of life. When I say quality of life impact, I'm referring to concentration difficulties, sleep disruption, avoidance of loud and quiet environments. Really, it has an effect on our day-to-day activities.
Mm. Is it a morning thing, nighttime thing, or it can be an any day type thing that people would notice this?
So what we find is our clients commonly describe that it's more noticeable first thing in the morning when you wake up,
okay.
But it is present throughout the day. But fortunately, we do have a few more distractions during the day. So tinnitus doesn't go, it's just our level of attention to it changes. But then for a lot of people, it's in those late early evening hours and when we're going to sleep, when there's not much distraction around us, when the environmental noise is lower, that's when it's most noticeable and most bothersome.
Interesting. Sasha, we'll take a break. Good morning, Robert from Naranda. You got a question for Sasha this morning?
Hey, good morning. Yes, yes, I do. Yeah, I started taking an SSRI, or commonly known as an antidepressant, probably about a couple of years ago, and developed like a slight whining or ringing in the ears. So it's quite noticeable when it's quiet, or most definitely when I go to bed. So, I was just wondering if there's anything that I could possibly do, or any supplements I could take that could help alleviate that.
Sure. Thanks for calling through, Robert. So, look, there are some medications out there that we consider to be ototoxic medications. In some cases, some of the side effects of medication can trigger tinnitus onset. And what we know is that when that is the case, you obviously need to continue taking the medication. It was prescribed to you by your doctor for the right reasons. But there are definitely things we can do in conjunction with taking the medication, such as environmental sound enrichment. So at night, you said it's a bit more noticeable, that whining type sound. You can really put on a fan, especially in this weather, just that form of basic sound enrichment to reduce the contrast between the tinnitus and the silence can really help reduce your awareness of it. It's also really worthwhile that you do mention this to your doctor, because we work very closely at Lions Hearing Clinic as part of the Ear Science Institute Australia. We work closely with GPs as part of a multidisciplinary approach to tinnitus management. And there may be alternative options for you that still incorporate that in your management protocol, but then don't have the same side effects with tinnitus.
Robert, really appreciate your call today.
Thank you very much for that, Sasha. Yeah, thanks for that.
Good on you, Robert. And, the calls are still coming through. You can give us a call, 9313-0985, if you've got a question for Sasha this morning. Good morning, Deanne from Piara Waters. You got a question for Sasha this morning?
Hi there, guys. I was just wondering, this is something I've suffered with all my life, to varying degrees. Yes. I just wondered, there's so many places out there that say, you know, they treat it and that they can help, but where do we start on that sort of path?
Really, really good question. So the first thing I would suggest is come in, have a comprehensive hearing assessment. Tinnitus and hearing loss are so closely associated with one another, and often it can be such a minimal hearing loss that you don't even realize it's present in your day-to-day life. What it all begins with picking up the phone, and you can call our tinnitus hearing and tinnitus advice line, and I'll pass on that number to you. But basically, it begins with making that initial contact. Let us put you through a comprehensive assessment, work through your experience of tinnitus with you, and then formulate an appropriate management plan that's tailored to your needs. Because you're so right, there's so many advertisements out there saying tinnitus treatment, come into our clinics. It really has to be tailored to your needs, and there's no one size fits all approach. So what I'm going to do is just read out that number to you, and I'm sure you're probably driving, but the number is 1-800-054-667. All it takes for you, pick up that call. One of our qualified audiologists would love to chat with you, and don't delay it. If you've been living with it for years, now's the time to do something about it. Really, having an understanding is so empowering in your management plan.
Thank you, Deanne. Is that helpful today?
Thank you. Yes, most definitely. I'll do that. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Deanne.
That's Deanne from Piara Waters. It's so good to have you in, Sasha. We've got some more questions coming through. They're coming through thick and fast today. You're going really well.
Good.
Okay, answering all of these?
Yes, please.
Well, you are the expert, so it's great to have you in. Got a question that come in from Good Morning Clarissa from Queens Rocks is asking about, does tinnitus have anything to do with blood pressure?
That's a really good question, Clarissa. So with tinnitus, what it is it's not a disease itself, but rather a symptom of an underlying condition. So we look at two main forms of tinnitus. There's subjective tinnitus, when only the affected individual hears the tinnitus. The less common form of tinnitus, known as objective tinnitus, which is about 1% of the population of tinnitus sufferers, they experience tinnitus relating to structures and changes near the ear. So we've got high blood pressure can cause increased blood flow near the ear canal structures. We've got TMJ dysfunction. We've got somatostructural changes that can increase someone's awareness or trigger their awareness for that clicking or whooshing type sound. And it, with the blood pressure related tinnitus, if it is a true form of objective tinnitus, it's commonly referred to as pulsatile in nature. So an individual may be able to actually hear it pulsating in time with synchronous in time with their heartbeat.
Would that be loud?
It is especially loud when you're laying down, because again, that then changes the anatomical position and changes the way the blood flow is running through the head and near the ear, and it can unfortunately disrupt sleep greatly.
So you would generally get that potentially when you're going to bed or first thing in the morning, is it?
Exactly. So it would. There may be times throughout the day, say we've been exercising or something like that, that we have changes in heart rate, etc., that it would be quite present, but it's mainly reported more at night time. And that's when, this is the type of tinnitus that we do want to encourage, we seek medical attention for, because this type of tinnitus can actually be heard in some cases by an external observer. So if your GP or your physician is able to use a stethoscope, they too may be able to actually hear that blood pumping through the vessels.
Do you work in kind of partnership with a lot of the GPs as well? Like, are you kind of exchanging notes there? Like, how does that work?
So this is something that I think at Lions Hearing Clinic, we really pride ourselves upon. We take a very holistic approach to the management of tinnitus. Mm. And it's a very whole person approach. We recognize that it's not just the hearing loss in isolation. There is multiple factors that are contributing to this perpetuation of tinnitus distress. Mm. So we refer back to the GP and exchange notes about the client. We may in some cases even recommend they see a psychologist when there's actually the brain's conditioned itself to attend to the signal so much that now we need a bit of help in almost reducing the negative reaction to the tinnitus. Okay. So we do work in a very multidisciplinary team, and we appreciate that we all have our professional responsibilities in this area.
Sure. Clarissa from Quinns Rocks, thank you so much for your text message. Sasha, we'll take a break. Some more questions coming through. We're working you hard today, aren't we, Sasha? You're doing well. Got another question coming through. What is the cure for tinnitus? Great question.
Such a great question, Mike. And there is a lot of talk out there about there not being a cure, and this devastating to those who really live with debilitating tinnitus. So at present, there is no scientific validated cure, and this is because it varies so greatly between two individuals. No two individuals will experience tinnitus the same, which makes it quite difficult to measure. But what we do have, and especially what has advanced over the years, is our worldwide knowledge on the condition, the advancements in what people experience, and the technology available to us to make the condition more manageable. So some of those management plans may look like, well, we know that the most common cause for tinnitus is a hearing loss of various degrees. So in some cases, when appropriate, hearing aids may be recommended, reducing the strain to hear, reducing the emotional distress associated with hearing loss. We've also got a bit more access to our environmental sound, so the tinnitus isn't as stark and therefore as bothersome. We have a better understanding of now the psychological involvement in what is perpetuating this tinnitus distress. So we're better able to address all factors that are contributing to constant tinnitus awareness. So we are advancing and we're not giving up. The Ear Science Institute Australia has our hearing and therapeutics research team making significant leaps. They've already started working on a cure for hearing loss, and they are one of only two labs in the world that has successfully turned skin cells into the tiny inner hair cells of the cochlea. So this gives us the potential to test genes, drugs, and other interventions in the lab to one day find a cure for hearing loss and hopefully tinnitus. And it's such an exciting space, and we're not giving up. We recognize that we need to do more, and we are working towards finding a cure for tomorrow. But really, what management can we give you today?
To provide that relief for a lot of people.
And that's it.
Yeah. Do you find that a lot of people are either too embarrassed or not comfortable coming forward? Is that a stumbling block for a lot of people?
Unfortunately, there are many out there that are suffering and experiencing tinnitus in silence. You really don't have to suffer alone. It is so common within our community. And what we want to do with Tinnitus Awareness Week is really advocate for more exposure to this word, to this term, educate the public's awareness, get hearing and tinnitus services recognised as part of our annual health check, the same way we check our eyesight on an annual basis. Healthy hearing is a key predictor for healthy ageing. Why are we not treating it as a high priority?
It's good. Sasha, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Very good morning, Tony from Byford. You got a question for Sasha?
Just in regards to the tinnitus. I was ex-military and obviously been around engines, gas turbines and live fire. And now, later on in life, I struggle with, you know, ringing in ears in a quiet room. And when I'm in a loud environment, I struggle to talk to people unless I'm looking directly at them.
Sure. So, Tony, can I ask you, being ex-military, do you know if you have eligibility for DVA, Department of Veteran Affairs services? Because hearing services are well recognised under DVA white card for hearing or DVA gold eligibility.
So I'm currently going through an advocate. I only just started because I only just found about the eligibility for it after this many years. But, yeah, I'm currently going through and working through with an advocate with some of the issues.
That's really, really good. Yeah. And I think it's so amazing that you've identified that not only have you got this ringing in those quiet environments, but like you said, you are experiencing difficulty really discerning speech when there's background noise present. And like I said, there is such a strong association between tinnitus and hearing loss, where it's very likely that when we address the hearing loss, we're indirectly going to support you with your tinnitus. And it's never too late. Obviously, we would want to encourage people to do something as soon as possible, but you have had exposure to excessively loud noises during your career and during your military service. So I really encourage you, as soon as you get that eligibility, come on through, meet with a qualified audiologist, and we can really start tailoring your management plan.
Tony, sounds like you're on the right track, mate, which is really good, getting that info recently.
Yeah, no, it's good, and it's good that you guys are doing what you're doing, making it aware, because, you know, people don't like talking about these things, so it is quite embarrassing.
Yeah, and you don't have to experience it alone. And I think we really, like I said, 2 in 3 Australians experience tinnitus at some point in their life. So if we can just talk about it more, advocate for it more, we can normalize it, and it's empowering to know you're not experiencing it alone.
Tony, really appreciate your courage to even pick the phone up, mate, and have a chat with us. We really appreciate it, and you don't need to be embarrassed, mate. So glad, and all the best with getting that sorted out. Good morning, Tammy from Valdivis. You got a question for Sasha as well?
Yes, hi. Hi, Tammy. Just wondering, my husband's just recently started to complain about tinnitus. Like, he gets a ringing in his ears, especially at night when he's sleeping.
Yes.
Or trying to sleep. But he has chronic rhinosinusitis, so he's got he has a lot of congestion from allergies. And he also has silent reflux. Sure. I've read that there's a connection. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah, so what we do try and encourage is an understanding that tinnitus is really a symptom of an underlying condition rather than a disease itself. And with the rhinosinusitis and the reflux that your husband's experiencing, often when we do have sinus issues, it can contribute in some cases to what we consider a conductive hearing loss. So trouble really sending the sound through our middle ear to reach the hearing organ. So there may be a relationship between the two, where there is that bit of a conductive component to a transient loss when he does have increased congestion. It's really important that through a comprehensive assessment, we'd be able to really check that and see if that's something that could be contributing to his experience with tinnitus.
Oh, okay. So the best place for him to go would be a hearing place?
Yeah, so as long as obviously we want to make sure his sinus issues are being looked after through the right medical professional in that regard, whether that be his GP or an ear, nose and throat specialist. But we really want to address the tinnitus as well. So coming in to a qualified audiologist and having that comprehensive assessment is the really a good place to start, because we can identify if there is any signs of anything that may be contributing to that.
How's that, Tammy? No, Tammy, okay. Really appreciate your call this morning.
No worries. Thanks very much.
Glad you called. You're in the running to be crowned a Weekdays winner as well, Tammy, and also Tony from Byford. Sasha, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and do a quick wrap-up back after this.
Thanks.
Sasha has been with me this hour. Sasha, we are out of time. That hour went very fast. Sure. We worked you hard today with all of the text questions and phone calls coming
Thank
through.
Thank you for that.
It's been a pleasure having you in. Just to finish off today, what would be your final message today regarding tinnitus?
I really want to encourage, Mike, that it's really common within our community and you don't have to experience tinnitus in silence. You don't have to go through it alone. We have management approaches that will significantly reduce your awareness. Overall, come on, make sure you contact a qualified audiologist. It's important that you have confidence and trust in who you're working closely with. And we know that when you hear well, you live well. So healthy hearing is a key predictor for healthy aging.
Good way to finish. Sasha, really appreciate you coming in today. It's been great having a chat.
Thank you for having me.
My guest in the studio this morning has been Senior Audiologist Sasha Benatar from the Ear Science Institute Australia. You are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98.5ve.com.